Right. Hallelujah. So if you got your Bible with you, we're going to get into the Word a bit this morning. I might see if we can get mobile even, keep you awake, keep you on your toes. So we're in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through to 11. And I'll read it to you straight out of the scriptures. If you got your Bible with you, a lot of people nowadays, we have our Bible on our phone and that kind of thing. That's all good. But we're in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 8 to 11. And it's talking about Adam and Eve, and it's talking about after they had disobeyed God and that disruption had come into their relationship with God. And in verse 8 it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Okay, so that's the picture. So they're there, and they hear God. And they go, oh, they felt guilty. They knew they'd done wrong. So what did they do? Go and hide. Hide among the trees. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Yeah, and we know the backstory. We should know the backstory to this. They only had one commandment and they broke it. The one commandment, basically, you can have everything here, but that tree over there, don't eat from that. That was the one. And there's been a big, you know, debate. You know, we know what Adam said. It was the wife, and the wife said it was the snake and all that sort of stuff. But that came later in the conversation. But what we see right here in the beginning of the Bible, we can see and hear that God had a desire to hang out with Adam and Eve. He wanted to be with them. And you get the impression that going for a walk in the garden at a certain time of the day was part of their daily routine. Kind of like, I'll meet you guys in the garden. And he comes down this one time, and where are they? This, you know, normally we get together and we go for a stroll through the garden. I don't know what they talked about, you know. Maybe I would have been saying, I would have been talking to him about the platypus. How come you made that thing? You know, you put the bill on, you got mixed up there, God, or something, you know. And you know, so I don't know what they talked about, but they had this relationship where they would walk and talk and have friendship together, as you do. Alison and Janice and Robin were going to go for a walk last night to the tunnel, but it got darker and darker, and I could see that's not going to go anywhere. They're not going to walk to the tunnel. And they said, "Do you want to come?" And I thought, I knew what would happen. Alison would probably end up boosting it up to the tunnel, and I'll be at the back. I don't know whoever's the slowest out of Robin and Janice, and then yeah, they won't be able to keep up. Anyway, the walking and the talking was going on. That was God's normal practice. But when Adam and Eve broke that relationship through their disobedience to God, you see, because God is a holy God. You know, if you've ever read, you know, some of you might have read that book about love languages, how people have different love languages. People, they express their love through giving. Some people express their love through serving, you know. Some people, it's acts of kindness. Other people, it's words. I'm not a words person, you know. I'm an action person. To me, words don't mean much, you know. But if you show me that you love me, yeah, that means something to me. Other people, words, you know. They love it. They love, you know. Alison's a words person, you know. So I've learned, I have to say to her from time to time, "I love you, darling. Oh, to you." Oh. And it makes her go all gooey. But if she said, "I love you, darling," I said, "Well, where's my socks?" Yeah, yeah, you know, different. Yeah, but God's love language is obedience. His, you know, obedience is how we show our love to God. So when they disobeyed him, you know, that broke the relationship. He's a holy God. And but the thing with God is, and ever since that time, so he called out to Adam. You know, I think this is so powerful. He called out to Adam, "Where are you?" Man, you know, he was looking for him. He was seeking for him. It wasn't like, "Oh, Adam's not here, I'll just carry on with my day." No, he was like, "Where are you, Adam?" So, you know, and ever since that time, God has been trying to get his man back. You could put it that way. trying to find his man. When I say man, I mean mankind, man and woman. He's been seeking relationship with his people, wanting to get that relationship back. You know, he sent the prophets, and by the prophets, I mean the Bible prophets, but also, you know, the prophets in our culture. Every culture has had men or women who could see things about God and would speak stuff about God. Sometimes they got it mixed up. Sometimes they got it spot on. But he sent people to speak, to tell us about the nature of God and that kind of stuff. He sent the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was a big thing, showing us how to live our life and keep out of trouble. And then eventually he even spoke through the stars. You know, who's ever sat out at night, looked up at the stars and go, wow. You know, and when we go out on the ocean, we go, wow. Or we're in the bush, we go, wow, man, this is awesome. You know, God's speaking through his creation. So in various ways, he's spoken to us, he's called out to us. And then at the right time, he came himself. At the right time, we call it Christmas, say. The right time he came himself, he stepped down out of heaven, out of glory, stepped down from his throne above. He became a man like you and I, a human being born of the Virgin Mary. He, you know, was obedient to his parents, the Bible tells us. He was a carpenter in the town of Nazareth. He lived in the place of Galilee, in a backwater place, a bit of a rough place by all accounts. And then at the age of 30, he began his ministry. He stepped into the River Jordan. His cousin John baptized him. Cousin John said, no, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, this must be done to fulfill all righteousness. He went down into the water. The Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. The voice came out of heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he began to teach and tell us that the kingdom of heaven is here. It's here and now. He brought in the kingdom of heaven. And we know he went around, he healed people, he cast demons out of people, he fixed people up, he even raised the dead. And after 3 years of ministry, ministering to his creation, at the end of that, he willingly gave his life on the cross. And he willingly offered himself as a sacrifice. He laid down his life willingly so that we could have an abundant life. And most of all, he laid down his life so that we could connect back to God, so that relationship could be brought back. This was God seeking relationship with mankind, seeking to bridge that gap that we had created, our ancestors, and the way we had lived, that gap that our sins separate us from God, the scripture says. But he took the initiative, he came down, he offered himself to close that gap, to bring his man back to him, to bring his woman back to him and have relationship with him. Somebody should say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know if any other God that would do that. Would Krishna do that? Would Buddha do that? Would any other, you know, Tangaroa do that? Or Tane Mahuta? Would he let? No, there's no other God that would do that, become part of his creation. That would be like Alistair becoming an ant to save the ants. What kind of God, what kind of person would do that? Only a loving God, only a God like our God. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him, Damien, yeah. He would come down to our level because he wanted to relate with us and be our mate, be our friend, and walk out and walk together and talk together. And that was his thing. Adam, where are you? And he cries out even today. What's the date? 2nd of April, 3rd of April? 2nd of April, 2022, he's crying out, saying, where are you? Crying out to our community, crying out to our people, our brothers and sisters, crying out even to us, the church, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I'm looking for you. I'm seeking you. I want you. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to walk around in your garden with you. I want to be in your lounge with you, sitting down while you have your cup of coffee. I want to jump in your car when you go for a drive and talk to you about the things that pertain to what's on your mind. He wants that relationship with us. Is he a mighty God, Allison? He's a wonderful, wonderful God. He willingly went to the cross for us. See, our disconnection from God is actually the source of all our troubles. You know, that gap, that disconnection, not knowing what he wants for us and not being in relationship, that's the source of all our troubles, when we're disconnected from God. And I want to tell you, church, family, and anybody listening later on the audio, he's still seeking. He's still looking. The Bible says this. Let's have a look at what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." In another passage similar to that, he said, "You are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world." Praise the Lord. I was talking to my brother here this morning about how we come to know the Lord. And I told him I was 16 years old when I came to the Lord. And my brother, he's a year younger than me, age 56. He's met the Lord last year, right? Last year? Yeah. And how God has intervened in our lives and changed their lives. Now, there was a time when I would talk about how, I chose the Lord. I chose to follow Jesus. I want to tell you that Jesus chose me. He came looking for me. He came looking for you, bro. Yeah, he came looking. We weren't even looking for him sometimes. Hey, we were doing our own thing. But he came looking for us. He wanted to find us. He wanted to seek us. Yeah, the Bible says this, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the land to see whose heart is towards the Lord so that he can show himself strong to them. He's looking for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's looking for you. Yeah. 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Woo! In John chapter 4, verse 23, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, he said, "My Father is seeking true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth." You know, sometimes we think we're seeking the Lord. Sometimes we're trying to find the Lord. I want to tell you, he's trying to find you. He's wondering where you're at because he wants to. He knows where you are, and he's trying to connect with you. He wants to, why are you walking in that direction? Turn around, come back home, walk this way, back to my... Now, you might be saying, "Oh, Mike, you're preaching to the choir. You're preaching to the converted." You might be saying, "Oh, I've chosen him already. I chose him in 1981 on February 22nd at that crusade I went to." You might say, "I've already chosen him." But I want to tell you this today. He wants to draw you closer to himself. He wants you to get closer. He still say, "Hey, where are you, Mark?" He wants me to come closer to him in relationship with him. Now, if you think you know the Lord, we say, "Oh, yeah, I know the Lord." Yes, you do know the Lord, but you can know him more. Hey, you can know him more. You can be married to someone for nearly 40 years and realize you hardly know them. Hey, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, because it's part of the discovery. It's part of the relationship, you know. Yeah, and likewise with the Lord. You can say, "Yeah, I know the Lord," but he wants to know you more. He wants you to, even the Apostle Paul, remember the Apostle Paul, mighty man of God. He said, "I want to know him." What? I thought Paul knew Jesus. But he said, "I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings." Yeah. And he said, "I want to press on to that upward calling." So he wants you to draw closer to him. And he wants to draw closer to you. And that's the beauty. Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him," the Apostle Paul said. Can you get closer to God? Yes, you can. You can get closer to God. You can get more full of God. More full of his love. His knowledge is unsearchable, meaning that you won't come to the end of it. You won't come to that place where, "Oh, I know him so much." No, there's more to him, more to this relationship. And that's what communion is. We're going to pull out the bread and the grape juice shortly. But communion is coming into union with him, coming into union with him, connecting with him, union with him. We can get closer to God. Does anybody here want to know him more? I want to know him more. I want to know him more. So this is an opportunity for me to know him more, to draw closer to him. He said, the word of God says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." We start drawing near to God. He draws near to us. He meets us. We move 1 inch, he moves a mile. We move a yard, he moves 100 miles. You know, if we make a little turn towards him, yeah, he is there. always with welcoming arms, saying, "Welcome home, son. Come closer to me. Welcome home, daughter. Hug you closer," coming into his presence. You might feel far off from God today. You might say, "Well, I don't actually feel very close to God today." That does not matter. Doesn't matter an inch. It's of no consequence to God. Because all he cares about is bringing you home. All he doesn't care where you've been sleeping. He doesn't care where you slept last night. He doesn't care what you've been eating. He doesn't care what you've been doing. He doesn't care what you've been thinking. He doesn't care what foul language came out of your mouth or what evil thoughts raised up in your head or what you looked at or what you shouldn't have looked at or anything like that. He doesn't care about your track record or how bad you might think you are or how unworthy you may think you are. None of that is of any consequence to him. All he cares about is getting you back home. All he cares about is that you taking that step and walking towards him. That's all he cares about. Remember the prodigal son? Remember the father? You know, that rat bag came home. That rat bag had all his little speech ready for dad. "Please accept me as a hired servant," and all that. He didn't even want to hear his speech. He just said, "Get the best robe, get the shoes, get the ring, get the fatted calf. This boy of mine was dead and now he's alive." All he cared about was that he was home where he should. And that's all God cares about for you right now. Your history is not that relevant. He wants us to just come to him. Even us who have been in the faith for a while, his heart is still the same. The one that was running around outside in the field doing everything right for dad, he wanted him to come home too and celebrate the other son. So we're in there, in the house of God, in the arms of God. You may feel far off from God, doesn't matter. Now that's not what's not on his mind. The only thing that's on the mind of the Lord is getting you home, getting you closer. Ephesians, the second chapter and verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Doesn't matter how far away you feel, whether it's that far or whether it's that far. Doesn't matter how far. The blood of Christ is what brings us near to him. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 to 25, we know these verses quite well. It says, "The Lord Jesus, on the same night on which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It wasn't just remembering it, but it was reliving it. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this. Now this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." He has made a way for us to draw close to him. He's made a way for us to draw close to him. He's opened up the door for us to draw close to him. It's a new and living way, the scripture says, into his presence, through his body, through his blood. So as we partake of these emblems today, make it as you grab the cup and as you grab the piece of bread, for every single one of us here this morning, make it a response of drawing closer to God. Everybody understand? That make it as you're drinking that cup and eating that bread, you know, doesn't matter what kind of week you've had, the ups and downs, the struggles of life, all those kind of things, let them fade into the background and say, "Right, today, Lord, I'm drawing closer to you through your blood, through what you've done for me. It's not me trying harder. It's not me working harder. It's not me trying to clean up my act." All those things are good things to do, but this is because of what you've done for me and because you're drawing me and I'm responding to you, drawing to me, responding to you by drawing closer to you today because of what you've done for me. Make it a drawing to him this morning. Come into union with him. Have communion with him. Move toward him. Who's going to move toward him today? I'm going to move from wherever I'm at, and I'm going to move forward towards closer to him. I'm going to be closer to him today than I was half an hour ago. I'll be even closer to him today because I'm moving towards him, responding towards him, responding to a call for a deeper and a closer walk with him. If our ministers, we got grape juice and bread. It's not alcoholic wine. I think we're okay. Yeah, thanks for the offer. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence amongst us. We thank you that you're hovering over our community, hovering over pregnancy choice, hovering over, Lord, many different places. Lord, that you're creating things, you're doing things, you're speaking to people, and we thank you for your presence here with us right now. We thank you, Lord, that you're crying out to this community and crying out to us, where are you? Lord, that you're wanting us to draw closer to you today. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done on the cross for us. We thank you, Lord, for healing. We thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Lord, we thank you for the miraculous power of God being released in us as we eat and drink together today. In a moment, Damien, I'll get you to pray, if you would, for the bread. And if your wife, Colleen, if you would pray, bless the cup. That would be great in a moment. Yeah, when everybody's got their cup. Damien and I, we pray quite often on Friday mornings with the other pastors in town here. And Lord, we just want to give you thanks for what you're doing. Lord, the unity of the body of Christ in this place. Lord, that we all come from the one loaf, from the one bread. Lord, we all drink from the one cup, and it's you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. So when you get your cup and you get your prayer, just have your own little contemplative prayer, that drawing to God. If we could all stand, please.
Lord Jesus, we come before you and thank you so much for this privilege and this opportunity that we have to come into union with you, Lord, as Mike has said. I want to thank you for this bread that we're about to receive, Lord. I pray a blessing upon it, Lord, this bread that represents to us your body. We just want to thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
And yes, Lord, we just thank you for this juice, Lord, that represents to us the blood that you spilled for our sins, Lord. We just thank you so much for the suffering that you endured for us, Lord, because you love us so much that you did want us to come back to you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we will come back to you daily, Lord God, as you want to come into the garden with us again, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, for this blood and ask that you'll bless it to our bodies in Jesus' name.
If we'd eat and partake now, that'd be great. Thanks. Praise the Lord. We're going to bring our worship team back. We're going to worship the Lord together. We're going to close off our service, but we'll also make an opportunity right here if you have any prayer needs to release the power of God into your situation, whether it be for a healing or salvation or anything at all that you're, that